Okay, fair enough. Okay, oh, Carrie, do you have a book
already?
No, I'm looking around. Oh, perfect. Thank you. Here's this handout as well.
You told me.
Yeah. So I really just appreciated everything that Lori, well, this entire weekend so far. Mm-hmm. But so as I was preparing for this, and Josh has just a trillion books about parenting and discipling little humans and stuff like that. So I was just thinking how the gospel really intersects with the job of parenting, and it just seems so daunting at times. So I just really been encouraged through preparing and even just everything that Lori's been going over. So talking about the gospel in real life, the number one thing that we're going to be going over today is really that we need to be parenting ourselves to the gospel before we're able to really parent our children to the gospel. So we need to be constantly renewing our mind through the gospel, day in, day out, before it really, and letting it saturate us before it really is able to just naturally come out in the way that we parent. So I really just want this more to be like a discussion, because I think there's a lot of wisdom that we can all get, because we're at different points. You know, Carrie has older children, and Danny and Mama B has older children, one of whom I married. So so I think that we can all really give each other a lot of good wisdom and application points. So the book that I got a lot of the principles off of at the bottom, I only picked six because there's 17 of them, but is by J.C. Ryle. Josh and I call him old dead guys. So he was like in the 1800s, but there's a lot of good, like meaty application points. And it goes off of Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. So you guys can take him home and really read through them and pray through them, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. But going back to gospel and parenting, so what is, like, in your mind, if you could define parenting, how would you guys describe, like, what is parenting?
Vindication.
You're trying to produce a independent adult who contributes to the community, is a good parent and a good citizen, and of course we want our children to love the Lord and have him be first in everything, have that be the ground, you know, that he lives his life off of. We want them to move out, be independent, and be a blessing to others.
Yeah.
And love God.
Yep. So when I looked up like a few different definitions, and the most concise one that I could put together was the responsibilities and actions of a parent to raise their children. So when you think of parenting in that manner, we're constantly parenting our kids, whether we're like verbalizing it or not. Like, our kids are always observing our body language, the words that we're saying, how we're interacting with our spouses, how we're interacting with them. They're observing everything. So we're parenting 24/7, whether we know it or not. The thing that we're hoping to do is that we're parenting them in a gospel manner 24/7, but the reality is we're probably parenting them through our sinful tendencies as well sometimes. So we're parenting them, whether we know it or not, through the gospel or not, whether good or bad. So the Bible is very clear that the gospel is of first importance in our life. So 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4 says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So Paul is saying here that the thing of first importance in his life is the gospel. So that's what he's going to be preaching. So that's what we want our parenting to look like as well. So when we think of, like, what do we value most in our parenting, is it the gospel, or is it just trying to, you know, raise good, obedient humans that the teachers say, like, oh, your kid is so good, and their coaches say, your kid is, like, such a good kid. Are we more concerned with, like, the soul level of our child? So we'll go just quickly through through a few questions, but what are just some things that we can share that we would say like is first importance in our life? I can just throw out some ideas.
I think what you said in the beginning was great, because we're parenting ourselves in the gospel before we parent our children, and that continual process of our quiet time and our time with our husband in with the Lord is so important, mm-hmm. you know, a foundation for what we do with our kids and what we say to them.
So when I'm thinking of like what is of first importance in our life, for me personally, we were talking about this in our first breakout session, but I feel like I go through my day just trying to get like an hour of just leisure time, just quiet. Like I will work through my entire day while the kids are awake to do every single chore, everything around the house, make all the meals so that once they're both like asleep at the same time that I have like my leisure time, like I protect that time. And again, it's a sinful leisure time. Like I just want to lie on the couch face down and quiet or watch a show. But when you analyze your heart in that way, like what are you raising up to be first importance? What are you valuing above that? And of course the things like, as Paul was saying before in 1 Corinthians, the things of first importance is the gospel. So are we pursuing, our personal holiness? Are we pursuing God and his word and like spending time and saturating our hearts with the gospel? Or are we raising up other things of first importance in our lives? Whether it's involved in parenting or not. So then the natural and sinful tendencies that we see, is just like selfishness, selfish desires, and motives, anger, lack of patience with the kids coming up, whatever it may be, is because other things are raising up in first importance in our life and not the gospel or God. So just as we went over in last session with Lori, we need to put to death those things of our earthly nature and then put on the things, like our new identity in Christ. So with that being said, we need to be constantly parenting ourselves in the gospel before we're able to parent our kids to the gospel. So we must be personally relying on the gospel on a day-to-day basis. So, what do you guys think of what it would look like to be relying on God in parenting?
What are some like? So for me, kind of tie into your original question, is my life verse is Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. And then to follow his example as I follow the example of Christ, and I'm modeling to my children Christianity, and if I'm not quick to listen, quick to hear, and slow to anger, then I'm not giving them a very good example. So I try to not hunger and thirst for the next meal if it has to be a fast, because I just need to be with God so then I can minister to my kids, because I feel like their influence is coming from home for the most part. I mean, there is the world, there is that, but ultimately we are responsible as parents that their influence should be, what are the things that Ted and I are about? Is church important to us? Is being involved in the church important to us? Is Wednesday night important to us? Like, that we need to model that it comes first in our lives, and then God will add all these other things, you know, that we have to prioritize. Mm-hmm. Are we chasing the things of the world and filling our hearts with idols, or are we chasing the things of God? Mm-hmm. And then there would be blessing in that. And you know, even with that, we fall short. Ted and I do, my children do, but yet we just need to make that the priority, that, you know, try to go over what we heard on Sunday mornings, or what did you learn on Wednesday night, just to always have that communication about God and what's he, so they can start like connecting the dots of those little things in their life that God's doing, if you're always consciously looking for it. So that's what we try to do as you get make the Bible and God a priority.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we think of like biblical parenting, and going off of Proverbs 22:6, So biblical parenting is really the training up of our children in the awe and obedience of God. We want to model that first and foremost, and teach them that first and foremost, so that they're able to see that in our lives. And then, since they're always observing and always watching us, then that's going to come. That's going to become something that they also want to model as well. So we want to be modeling and training them up in the awe and obedience of God by teaching that to them. So, like I said, this book is really based off of Proverbs 22:6. So the verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I was talking about it with Josh, actually, and he totally corrected me, because I thought train up a child in the way he should go was a command, and it's not. It's wisdom terminology in the Hebrew. So good thing he told me that, because I was like, oh, it's a command. He's like, it is not a command. I was like, it is not a command. train up a child in the way he should go is just, it's a wisdom word. So it's God's wisdom for parenting that we should train them up in this way, according to biblical truths and principles. And then the blessing that goes along with that is that when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we all know that it's not a promise. It's not like we do, you know, A through Z, and our kids are going to, you know, automatically understand and cling to this repentance and faith and, you know, become magically saved because we did steps A through Z. So that's where, as parents, I feel like we pray more than ever before once mm-hmm. we have children, for them to truly understand faith and repentance and what that means. So based off of that verse, he wrote 17 practical ways for successful parenting. So I just picked out 6 that we can kind of discuss. And then I just want to, again, just really have good discussion on how to apply like each of these principles to our families. So the first one is, train with this thought continually before your eyes, that the soul of your child is the first thing to be considered. Are you joining this way? Hi. So train with this thought continually before your eyes, that the soul of your child is the first thing to be considered. So understanding that we're training our kids for God and not for man, I think we have a tendency, again, to train them so that we get affirmation from people, you know, from teachers, from coaches, from even Sunday school teachers, that our kids are so well-behaved and everything like that. But when we understand that we're training our children for God and what God thinks of our children and not just man, it really just changes our perspective of how we should be parenting them. So I think another tendency and temptation that we have as parents is to kind of get caught up on other things, like, are we feeding them, you know, the most organic, non-GMO, all these fancy foods to make them smart in the best schools and tutors and all this stuff to make sure that they are well-rounded in their brains and bodies and physically healthy. And then we're neglecting the soul level of the child. With that temptation in mind, how can we be more concerned with the souls of our children, especially with how we're parenting? So what are some practical ways that we can be caring for the souls of our children at whatever age they are? So what are some ways?
I want to say it's so important for us to know our children, because each one is unique, you know, and so to really know who they are and where our guidance is going to be coming for that individual child. And then to look and see what natural gifting God is putting in them to guide that as well. And so I just think, you know, and, you know, every one of our child, just because of their birth order or whether they're a boy or a girl, that makes them individuals. So it's, I don't know, I think we need to be students of our children as well. And I always like the teachable moments, you know, for each child, there's gonna be different moments that really speak to, that we can really speak to them in that particular moment that God has orchestrated, and taking advantage of those times, I think, are really key as well.
So how can we apply to our families caring for the souls of our children and understanding that the soul is the most important thing, and of first importance, the gospel. So how can we instill that, and how can we be concerned with that, their soul, especially in the way that we parent? So what are just some practical ways that we can apply that?
I think little kids, there's so many songs that we can sing to them and teach them and talk about scripture. They're just absorbing so much as little kids.
The music is just, it's a magnet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your little one just...
They love it. Mm-hmm.
She starts moving.
She just goes.
Mm-hmm. You're filling her brain with
God's truth. The word of God just, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a gift.
Yeah. But you're right, it doesn't speak to the other one, so figure that one out. It's funny. It's so different.
Mm-hmm. We were doing for ourselves, Tyler and I, our marriage counseling. Part of our marriage counseling was going through the five love languages, and then my mom introduced us that they did one for kids, and so we read that for them. And it's funny to pick up. You can kind of see, I mean, ours are pretty young at this point, but you can kind of see them developing that, like what, how they receive love, like how they perceive love to be, and that therefore learning that so that you can minister to them in a way that speaks love to them specifically. And that's been really cool for us. Like, just see, I mean, as young as they are at two and three, you can already see their tendencies. Like, with the older one, she really enjoys you just sitting with her. You don't have to say a word to her if you're just with her. But the younger one wants you to be touching her. Like, you have to actually be holding her. So, just little
and then
things.
How do we use those differences to bring the gospel? Mm-hmm. Jesus. You sing it, or you have them on their lap. Have them on your lap.
It's really good.
Have the word, right? You got your Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like creating your own curriculum as you go, having to cater. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. But before that, figuring out your own curriculum, how you're going to figure out the gospel to yourself, is kind of a part I skipped over. So that's kind of thank you for that.
That's cool.
So I've heard it said once, we spoke about this in the last session, but and it's really strong language, so it kind of makes us cringe when we think of it this way, but how much do you have to hate somebody to not share the gospel with them? Knowing, understanding like the good news of the gospel, how much do you have to hate them to really not share that with them? So when you think of it in terms of like our children, like of course we love our children more than anything in the world, so of course we're going to be more concerned with their souls and sharing them with them the good news of the gospel and how that transforms their life and what Jesus has done for us and like the hope of the gospel more so than anything else. So when I think of like soul care and like caring for our children's souls more so than, you know, everything else, like that's the eternal aspect of them. Mm-hmm. So constantly bringing it back to the hope of the gospel, even, you know, when a two-year-old is having a temper tantrum, trying to realign his mind that you're doing this because you have like heart desires that aren't being met, or that, you know, they're just trying to get on their level to let them understand at a really early age the gospel. And you can't preach it to them too much because we need to be constantly renewing our own mind every single day in the hope of the gospel. And then it's going to be naturally coming forth from us to them. So the second practical way is train your child to a knowledge of the Bible and promises of Scripture. So we want to teach our kids all of Scripture, like start to finish. Doesn't like start when they're, you know, babies, all the way through. Like read them all of Scripture. You don't have to neglect the scary stories at a young age, and just bring it back to Jesus. Miss Lori was. We said you have to bring it back to Jesus, even the Old Testament, go back to how this is going to lead to Jesus and the hope of Jesus and the redemptive power of Jesus. So we all are probably familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16-17, that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So training them to a knowledge of the Bible and the promises of scripture, and even in those like teachable moments, going back to maybe a story in the Bible that they're so familiar with and applying it to their life, you know, even when they are so young. So something that we do personally for Asher is we read the big picture storybook Bible to him, and we've gone through it multiple times, like 7 or 8 times, start to finish already. And he picks up on it, and he knows the nights that like we don't read it, he'll be like, it'll be 10 o'clock at night, he's like, you gotta read my Bible. And I'm like, you're stalling. But he desires that, and he asks so many questions, because we started with it at such a young age that it's become like something that he desires to read, and he asks so many good questions now, and it makes me think sometimes, I don't know why, you know, Ezekiel did that or said that. And so teaching them all of scripture and then always pointing them back to Jesus. So I don't know if anybody has good ways to apply this. I know, I feel like Lindsay always, like, she has everything to songs too. Like, her kids know like a ton of Bible verses because she puts them to songs. So I don't know if anybody has different tips and ways that they've trained up their children to a knowledge of the Bible and promises of scripture that you guys want to share.
Right now, Ryan and I are going through a letter a week with the girls. So we do a letter, a verse that starts with that, and then like a color and a food, and we put it on our board. So every week we have a new letter that has a new verse, like a shorter verse.
Yeah.
And Ryan's very artistic. It's the creative side of him. So he does like the A in like every, like, you know, uppercase, lowercase, cursive, and he draws pictures for them. He gets like very into it. But then we do it every day for a week, and then the next week we do the next letter.
Yeah.
So I think right now we're on F. We just started it, but a couple weeks ago. But Lily seems to like it because she's like, oh, and we ask her what's the letter, and then we go over the verse, and then we do the colors, and so it's just another way to like plug in, and it's visual. So we do it during breakfast. So she's sitting eating, and the board, and where she sits, the board's right in front of her face because that's where the wall is. So she likes it so far.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good.
We do, we've been doing Bible time in the morning before we do any other school. So we started in Genesis, and we're almost done now with Deuteronomy. Joshua, I cannot wait to get to Joshua. It's like, when are we getting Joshua? I'm like, we're almost there.
Yeah.
And for my older ones, I think they sort of feel like we're slogging through the Old Testament. Like, Leviticus, really, Mom? And we went all through Leviticus. And we just had to constantly talk about, how does this point to Christ? Like, how does it make you appreciate who he is? And then just the other day, yesterday, I was at a friend's house, and my boys got into a squabble, and Samantha came and said, you need to come get so-and-so over there fighting. So please ask him to come to me. So he came to me, and he's standing in front of me, and I said, what's going on? And he told me, and I said, well, don't be overcome by evil. How do you overcome evil? He's like, with good. I hate this. And I was like, well, Betty, it's true. You know, and you can't, this is where the gospel comes in. You can't do it by yourself. You can't. It takes Christ. We can't fail to lead them to the cross and then not show them the value of it. Right? Like, you fall short. You fall short. Jesus paid the price for that. Right? And now you can walk in it. So I just think it's this delicate balance of truth and grace.
Leading them to the cross.
Yeah. And not stopping short, because sometimes as a parent, I fall, stop. And we don't get to, you don't have it in and of yourself to overcome evil with good. You cannot. There's nothing good within you. Right? We gotta take it all the way. Right? We gotta take it through the death of the Lord and the resurrection.
Now, is that hard to do in the moment with the little ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely overcome by my by evil. Myself.
Well, and I was going to say earlier, you said how much do you have to hate somebody to not share the gospel with them? I'm afraid to say that it's not hate for them that makes me stop short, but instead it is love for myself. That keeps me from going all the way in my life, because that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. And when you say love for yourself, Carmen, like your time?
Self-preservation, my time, or just like my kids, I have four of them, and they all want to talk to me at the same time. Or two will be in the corner fighting, and one's over here talking, and the other one's doing something. He maybe does, he knows. And I get overwhelmed. And when they were little, they would all talk to me at the same time, and I literally would like shut down, and like I can't respond. I'm overwhelmed. And it's just learning to say, at that point, I can't do this. Give me the wisdom to know how to respond and to whom to respond to first. I need you to speak through me to these kids. I can't do it. That's what it takes.
Are your children aware that that's happening with you?
I think they are.
You would hope they are.
I think, well, they're sinful people, just like me, but I think they know the buttons, right? And so I'm trying not to shut down as much, and I'm trying to pray and overcome my inability and function in the ability of the Lord in that moment, because I see them, in a way, they kind of gang up on me. Not maliciously, but just childishly, right? And when the cat's away, the mice will play. So if we can get mommy to, like, I'm overwhelmed and I can't function, then for a moment they have that freedom to go do whatever. Like, there's another time where I felt really convicted when they were little. It was so much easier for me to clean up the kitchen by myself and to let them go play. So much easier. I would rather load the dishwasher at peace than have all four of them in here washing and rubbing and scrubbing and sweeping and like, And I feel like, in a way, I failed my children and I missed that opportunity. I wish I had at least called one of them in. Like, Monday night is your night, Tuesday night is your night. Well, maybe I can't handle all four at one time, but I could probably handle one. And now that they're older, I could rotate them, but when they were younger, it would fall on the older one for sure. But like now, if I'm working in the kitchen, and they're 15 and they're 13 and they're 12 and they're 10 and they're completely physically capable of helping in the kitchen, and I have mistakenly trained them to shoot.
Get them in there.
It's not too late. They will, like, there are nights when daddy's like, you guys got kitchen duty, all of you get in there, you know. I almost have something back yet. But it's the little things.
So the next one is train them to a habit of prayer. I think the beautiful thing about prayer, it's really the first step that a child can take, like, on their own initiative in their walk of faith. It's before that they can read. It's before they can, you know, dial up a podcast. It's before they're taking notes in church. It's just prayer and letting them understand at a young age, and hopefully we're modeling that for them, but that we're reliant on God and we're dependent on God. As our kids are dependent on us, that we're dependent on God, so that they see that we're in constant communication with the Lord, and then instilling that in them, like, you know, when they're scared, well, why don't you talk to God? Or when they're struggling with anger or frustration, starting at such a young age. And somebody shared in the last one about every time they're driving in the car and they hear a siren, praying out loud in the car, like you can redeem those times, like, every single time. Or you see somebody, you know, hurt, like, in day school or something, and, well, we should pray for them. And it's really their first step in their walk with the Lord. So it's a beautiful thing to instill that in them, that we should be modeling that first and foremost. I think most of us will pray in our heads quietly, but even just taking time to be like, okay, you need to stop playing right now because we're going to pray because daddy's having a hard time at work, or, you know, whoever, whatever. And taking them along with us and like in our communication with the Lord. So how does anybody have any good ways of praying with kids? And how to, and even like different types of prayer. We have a book on prayer, and it goes through, we're going through all the different types of prayer with Ash, and what that looks like, going through different psalms, and it tells you at the end, like, how can we pray through this psalm, and they're all different types of prayer, like vocalized praise and thanksgiving and repentance, and so teaching them that there's like a mm-hmm. huge variety of ways that we can pray and like talk to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So any applicable ways of teaching our kids to pray?
We always pray at dinner time, and one thing that I love is my kids tell my parents to pray at dinner. Mm-hmm. So when we go to Colombia, when they're here visiting and my kids are around, the dinner is served, and let my parents know they gotta go to pray because my kids are going to pray. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so like amazing, you know, my kids teaching my parents.
Yeah.
That's and awesome. Mateo, like, he sits down, he has his meal, and he knows he has to go to pray. So for me, it's also a revealing, you know. I wasn't raised praying at dinner time. We pray at church, and that was it. So, like, seeing that it's dinner time, and my kids don't start, like we gotta pray. You know? It's already in their brains. At 3 years mm-hmm. old, it's already in his brain for them to pray.
Oh, that's amazing.
Sometimes I ask my kids to pray for me. Mm-hmm. And they have the most eye-opening, clear pictures of what they need to pray for. Mm. They are very discerning in their prayers. Mm. And there have been times when I know that my children have been praying for me in the midst of what's going on. And in hindsight, I'm like, thank you. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I was really praying for you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Mommy needs it.
Yeah.
So, and I usually ask him for prayer requests. Like, do you have a prayer request? Is there something you want to pray about? And then I'll pray for that with them, right? Mm-hmm. And then ask him, do you want it? So just giving them those opportunities to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Tyler's been good about that. With Daisy, at least. Amy won't sit still right now. But with Daisy, he'll sit down and ask her before bed, who should we pray for? And she'll list off, like, people we don't even, like, out of blue, like, people she met at the same grocery store that day. I'm like, Daisy, what are you talking about? You know, the lady with the pink thing in her hair. Okay. But she'll list them off. I'm sure enough. I'm trying to pray for that. And she's not, you know, she doesn't vocally pray, but Tyler will vocally pray for her at that time. And it's really cute. And she's gotten to where, like, we'll do, like, our dinner time prayers or lunchtime or whatever. And she's correcting Amy. Amy, shh, hold my hand. Like, in the middle of the prayer. And you're like, well, this is cute. I mean, that's the idea. Let's lovingly instruct our sister on it. But it's cute that they do. They pick up on it. And they pick up on it that it's a reverent time, that it's a special time. There's something different about it. And I think that's important, too, is just that it's standing out to her that we're quiet during that time. And then being able to, as she further develops, explain why we're being quiet and reverent at that time and why it's important to be still. But at least she's starting to be still so that we can get to that section. So right.
For our family, for me over the years, all the things we've done, the most precious time for me is when our family prays together. Mm-hmm. And they're the most endearing moments, like what they say and whatever. But over the years, as they grow and they're all different ages, their prayers have developed as it's modeled in church and Sunday school. But the one thing we felt very important for us as parents to teach them is to pray scripture. Mm-hmm. Like, we used to let them do their little laundry list, like, thank you for this, thank you for that, you know, help, you know, their, you know, are they greeds or needs? Is that a list of God? God's a big God. He answers. Are you looking expectantly? So they have to, when we do Bible, they have to come prepared to pray a scripture, whatever God put on their heart that week, pray that for that person. And then we recap the next day. Did God answer your prayer? You know, did you see any glimpse of that? Or so we just try them not just to throw things at God, but to really have a relationship that they're going before a holy God, and that they, you know, to thank him. We always try to hearts of gratitude, what has God done, the beauty of his creation, whatever it might be. You know, we need to clear the air with God. You know, do you guys need to repent of anything before we go to prayer? So we try to just have a real open dialogue. And then also just that we try to remind them, hey, you prayed about this last week. You know, what's going on with that? So, and then for our birthdays, we also, we go around the table and each child has to pray for that birthday child. Like what's on their heart and things for their life. Instead of just like tete a tete, just like where they are in the relationship. But if they come to me with something, I'll say, did you go to God yet? Like, you're bringing this to me, but did you, you know, like to teach them, you go to him first and then you can, you know, go to the word, go, and then you can get input if you're still struggling or whatever. So those are just like the little things that we're, you know, trying to do and have play out in their life, that they would memorize scripture, know scripture, and pray scripture, because that's God's love language. Like, you know, we're giving them back his word and his promise. And when they're struggling, hey, God, you promised me, right, you'll never leave me and forsake me. I feel forsaken right now. This like, to get them to start using that language.
That's awesome. Okay, so then the next one is train them to a habit of faith. I think the word faith gets thrown out a lot, and I actually had to look it up for like a clear definition of like what actually is faith, and it's reliance and trust on something. So we want to train our kids to a habit of faith so that our kids are trusting us and have faith in us so that what we say they know is good for them. But not only are they trusting and having faith in us, but we need to point them back to, well, we are being obedient to the Lord. Like, we are going, like, we are, these aren't just, like, our rules and regulations for our family. Like, this is, like, God's wisdom for, like, the created order of parenting. So teaching our kids not only to have a habit of faith with us, but that also we are just being obedient to the Lord. And that's, like, our faith and trust in God for them and for how we're parenting them. So I was thinking of the opposite of faith and what that is, and that's just really lack of trust. And I was thinking of stories in the Bible that exemplify lack of trust, and I was thinking of Adam and Eve and Noah and even like the Israelites, and you see the curses that come along with, and like the troubles and trials that come along with a lack of trust. And then you also see like the images of faith in Abraham and Isaac and even Jesus, and how those are just so significantly contrasting each other, so that we can even just show our children, like, you might not be trusting me in this, but like, this is God's plan. Like, this is God's plan for parenting, and we're parenting you according to God's will. And just showing them, like, in scripture, like, this is what happens when, like, the Israelites were not being obedient to the Lord, and they had hardships, and they were wandering, and they were struggling. And then like showing them like images of faith, like what does it look like to really trust in God and like the blessings that come from that. So training them to a habit of faith where we want our kids to not really second guess every single little thing that we're doing. Like, why are you doing this, Mom? Well, why do you say that? Why are you putting me in time out for this? We want them to understand what we say goes, because that's how God parents us. Like, we don't second guess God with every single thing. We want to be obedient to the Lord. So training that in our children as well. And just because we're running short on time, the fifth one is train them continually how God trains his children. The number one thing that I was thinking of is just like how God was training his children, like in the Israelites. You know, they were presenting all these requests to him, and sometimes he withheld good things from them. So he didn't, you know, bow to every whim and request that they had, because he, in his wisdom, knew what was good for them. So it's the same thing for our kids. We want to parent as God parents us, and we want to parent our children the same way that God parents us. So I also think of Paul with the thorn in his flesh and how he pleaded with the Lord 3 times, please remove this from me. And God said, no, like I'm going to give you the grace to endure it. But like in my wisdom, this is what is needed, and this is what is good for you to develop your faith. So continually training our kids how God trains his children, and always pointing our kids back to that. Like, we are a child of God, and God is parenting us, and this is how we are parenting you. So always relaying that back to God as like our creator and our parent, to in our children's lives. Is this over at 2:30? Mm-hmm. Okay. So then the last one is train them to remember the power of sin and God's greater redemptive power. So we all know that children do not need to be taught how to sin at all. They are born sinful and they continue in it for the rest of their lives. So it's not something that they're taught, but we need to teach our kids the power of sin and the gravity of it against a holy God. So we need to teach them that at a very young age. And we, like with Asher, when he's having a temper tantrum over something, we try to, you know, say like, well, why are you acting this way? So what is it in your heart? Like, I wanted what I wanted. I didn't get it. So now I'm angry and, you know, throwing a temper tantrum and bringing it back to the gospel and like your heart desires. And yes, you're struggling with anger, but, and that's a sin against a holy God. So that's very wrong, but praise Jesus that we have Jesus and he can redeem you from that and rescue you from that sin. And we want to be more like Jesus to please him. So trying to like change the conversation instead of like, that was bad and wrong, to understanding the power of sin over us, but that, like you said in Colossians, that it's not, we're not enslaved to it, that it's not a master over us, and that God can powerfully redeem us from that and save us from that. So I have written down James 1:15, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. So the gravity of sin leads to death. So teaching our children that there's a very real consequence to continuing in sin. And then also not just stopping there, but also going through verses like Colossians 1:4, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So going through that, and again, at a young age, like, and it's never too late to start changing the conversation, but like with Asher, we started at a younger age, so he can start, he understands now, like when we say, you know, go sit up and time out upstairs until I come talk to you, he's like, well, let me please God, I'm like, well, you already did something that was wrong, so like he's starting to understand like what he did that was wrong, that it was disobedient to God and hurts God's feelings. But then we want to always change it back to like the hope of the gospel and not just leave them in that guilt and sin. Mm-hmm. So essentially we need to be parenting ourselves in the gospel before we're really able to parent our kids in the gospel, and constantly renewing our mind in the gospel before that comes out through our parenting. Mm-hmm. So
humbling.
So this book is really good. I can't call it a book. It makes me feel really good about myself. I'm like, Josh, I read a book. And he's like, that's a pamphlet. I'm like, I'm going to call it a book because it makes me feel really good about myself. So it's like 30 pages. And he's like, please, Jamie, it's not a book. But 40 pages. There we go. See, it makes me feel good about myself. So I'll just pray real quick before the session starts again. So, Lord, we come before you. Lord, humbly just asking for your wisdom in parenting our children, Lord, that we can parent them well, that they understand the gravity of their sin, Lord, but also what you did on the cross to redeem us, Lord, and rescue us. So we pray that we are able to renew our minds in the gospel every day, Lord, and that that will just overflow into the way that we parent, Father. And we just thank you for the gifts that are our children, Lord. And we just boldly ask that we're able to parent them through your biblical truth, Lord, so that they will come to understand repentance and faith, Lord, and live their life to glorify you. So we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Yes.